Shalom. Grace and peace to you from the one who was, the one who is, and from the one who is to come, from our Lord Jesus. Behold, he is coming soon, and every eye shall see him. The theme for the general conference is Jesus is coming soon, therefore I will go. Therefore, I will go. This is the theme that I'd like to explore this morning with you. If I can have the PowerPoint on the screen, on the back screen as well, so I don't break my neck this morning. That will be really helpful. Thank you for that. It's been really great to worship with you, very talented and gifted people in this church. I appreciate it, the worship leaders, the musicians, and I usually like to share a bit of news, what's happening around Australia, but my boss, who is here today, Pastor Terry Johnson, will be sharing that with you after lunch, my understanding is. But I still want to encourage you, today we set aside this Sabbath for prayer. A Sabbath for prayer for the Australian Union Conference, for the AUC session that's coming in 30 days, August 31. We're going to begin our session here, and we encourage you to join in praying for that session that God's Spirit will be leading. And as we refocus on mission for the next 5 years, really appreciate it that the session will be surrounded and in prayer, and God's leading and God's purpose will be there. I appreciate your prayers for us as we come together. Delegates from around Australia will be there to refocus on the mission for the next 5 years. If Jesus doesn't come, we need to finish the work that he has entrusted us to do. But also I'd like to say thank you to you for faithfully returning your tithe and offerings. We're very blessed here in Australia. We continue to be marvelling in how God is leading and people faithfully returning tithe and offerings, and I want to thank you for that. Also, very briefly, just to let you know that this year we are reflecting on 100 years since the first literature evangelist, Neville Westwood, travelled from Bickley, Western Australia, circumnavigating Australia, and the first to do so in a car that famously named it Babsy, in a Citroen car. And we this year we're celebrating that boy. Just going around Australia and sharing the story, sharing literature, sharing that Jesus is coming in. And we have quite a number of churches, more than 100 churches that are involved with that and that itinerary. And just really some exciting things coming out of that. And it's great to see our church involved in sharing that good news. Before we get into this the sermon this morning, I'd like to encourage you to bow your heads with me as we pray once more. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit will anoint my lips and may the words and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, may be an encouragement to all of us here. In Jesus' name, amen. Early last year, I was encouraged to be part of a team that went to Papua New Guinea to conduct evangelism in what was known as PNG for Christ. Around 100 preachers and elders, lay preachers from Australia had travelled part of that. And I was encouraged to go. But initially, I thought I was coming up with all sorts of excuses. I was busy. I was pastoring a church at the time, not far from here, as well as doing the work for the personal ministry at the AUC. And I didn't have the 3 weeks to spare to go to Papua New Guinea, and I was trying to come up with all sorts of excuses. But finally, the Holy Spirit nudged my heart, and I said, "Yes, Lord, I will go. Yes, I will go." Well, I went there and to a place called Rabaul in the new island, the island right in the middle of the map there. A beautiful place. I've been welcomed. This is skipping a few slides there. I'm not sure why, but I've been welcomed very well in Papua New Guinea. And the meetings went well there, and people were very friendly. The meetings went really well. The Rabaul is a place, and I don't know why the pictures were out of whack, but the place where I went, it's mainly people involved in pagan practices. And there's some Christians there, majority being Catholics in that area. But black magic and the devil is really, really working hard to disrupt those meetings. Despite all that, God has worked, and the church not only doubled in size in terms of membership and the new people baptized, but tripled in size. A church of about 90 people. And we baptized 190 people there just in 3 weeks. I was never thought that I would be tired of baptizing people, but I've been in the water on the last Sabbath, the third Sabbath, since 6 a.m. The elders and the pastor said, "Well, we need to go because we got 190 people be baptized today, and that'll be you." And it's been great to be part of that, to witness such a baptism. But that didn't happen in a vacuum. It didn't happen just because of me. I was part of that. I was just a small part of that. I was more blessed than I was a blessing to others there. It happened because of prayer. And this is why I encourage you to pray not just for your church, for the work here in Australia, because it can happen here as well. And they've been praying and preparing for it for years, and the Holy Spirit was poured out in a mighty way in Papua New Guinea as a result of that. You see, prayer does not fit us for the greater work, but prayer is the greater work. Sometimes we think, you know, we pray, and but we need to... We need to recognize that prayer is the greater work. This is where we need to struggle with God in prayer, and He will pour out His Spirit if we are faithfully asking for that. And it's been a marvelous experience, and you probably heard that reports from there as well. Not also that people prayed, but they were involved in sharing their faith. They were involved in inviting people along. One example I'll give you, this man that I met during that time in Rabaul, his name was Jacob. He had a past. Well, every saint has has a past. He was a rascal, a proper rascal. We sometimes call our children rascals when they misbehave. But he was a rascal in his past time, and he was telling me that people are really, really scared of him. I mean, he wouldn't think twice of chopping somebody's head off. In that process, he lost one of his legs. He was amputated. But while he spent some time in prison, he became a Seventh-day Adventist, and he accepted Jesus, and he turned his life around. He shared his testimony, how God changed him with others. He started a few small groups in various villages, and he invited people along. And most of those people he invited along, about 20 or 30 people, got baptized. Isn't that incredible? into other small groups just a result of one man. And this is just one example of what we can do, how we can use our testimony to share and to invite others to be part of it. I want to invite you to reflect, and we are spending this quarter looking at the book of Exodus in our Sabbath school, but the story of Moses, when he encountered God at that burning bush, God commissioned Moses, asked him to go and to lead his people. He said to Moses, I want you to go and lead my people out of Egypt. And what was Moses' reaction? We lost the PowerPoint, guys, just in case you want to drink. All right, it's back again. Just as Moses was trying to come up with all the excuses, what did he say? Well, Lord, not me. Send somebody else. I can't speak. A little bit like I was trying to do when God has asked me to, nudge me to go to be part of that evangelistic program last year. No, not me. I can't speak. I can't speak pidgin. Even though miracles happened during that as well, because people heard me speak in their own languages as well. And I'm not the only one. I know Pastor Johnson had the same experience. I'm not sure if Pastor Daniel was there. Were you there? No? You missed out, brother. There's a lot of other people had the same experiences. And it happened before to me when I was in Mongolia about 15 years ago, leading an evangelistic campaign there. But God, he continued to nudge us. And he's nudging Moses and said, hey, I want you to go and lead people. And instead of saying, yes, Lord, I will go, Moses is trying to come up with all the excuses. But then, and that's in chapter 3 of Exodus, you hear the story there in Exodus 3 with Moses and the burning bush. And in chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles with you, you might like to open that up. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, but Moses protested again. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord never appeared to you? And the Lord asked him, what is it in your hand, Moses? What is it that you hold in your hand? Well, he said, a shepherd's staff, he replied. Throw that down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw that staff on the ground and he turned into a snake and Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out, grab it by the tail. So Moses reached up and grabbed it. Now, I suspect that there's more to that conversation between what God said and Moses than this is included in the scripture. I believe that Moses would have said something like, Lord, this is all I got. This stuff is my livelihood. I depend on it. For 40 years, he was a shepherd, and he had many, many memories attached to that road. This wasn't just a stick that he picked up on the side of the road. This was his stuff. If you ask me to throw a tunic or something else, but this is all I got. This is the stuff that I depend on it. And so God said, well, throw it down. And it scared Moses. I mean, it scared him when he saw the snake. It would have scared me. I don't like snakes, by the way. There's a guy in our office who likes snakes, and he brings them along and worship, and I'm going like, oh, please. Moses would have said something, but pick it up, Moses. Well, God, I know it's a long time since you created these things. Maybe you forgot that it's not such a good idea to pick up the snake by the tail. Well, pick it up, Moses. Isn't it incredible that God allowed Moses to pick it up again when he decided to throw all the stuff that he held tight in his hand. And he picked it up and used it for God's glory and for his purpose. Okay, it's working now. He used that stuff for his purpose and for his glory. Every time he lifted up that stuff, that rod, God performed miracles after miracle, and he led people out of slavery through that rod that Moses threw it down. He was willing to throw it down. What about you and I today? What is it that you and I hold tight in our hands? You know, if I'm going to ask you, probably most of us will say, well, it's my mobile phone, isn't it? Isn't it incredible? We all somehow hold that tight in our hands, isn't it? I forgot my mobile phone one day at home. I usually, every time I just put it in my pocket, I just have to have it with me. And I forgot it. It was the best day. I'd done a lot of work. I'd done no interruptions, no nothing. I got like, wow, nobody called me today. It's great. I didn't have. But we depend on that stuff, isn't it? What is it that you hold in your hands? Is it, maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your profession. Maybe it's your work. Maybe it's your family. Whatever it is. God says, are you willing to throw that down and use it for me? Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your talents. If there's anything that we come up in Australia with the excuses, it's time. But Pastor, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. You know, we're all busy, 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 busy. Time. What about your talents? Are you willing to use them for God? What about your treasure? What about your testimony? This is something that I'd like to reflect to you. When we go to the New Testament, the book of John, we find an amazing, amazing story in John chapter 6 where Jesus is preaching, and every time Jesus is preaching, there's a crowd. And Jesus not only preaches, but he has compassion on them because it's past 12 o'clock and the preacher goes on and on and everybody's listening, but he goes like, well, Philip, Andrew, you guys are local. You're from Bethsaida. You're from the town of fishermen. Where can we buy some fish and chips for lunch? And it's amazing because every time you find Philip, and I know Philip is doing a great job there up on the PA this morning, but Philip means, you know, he's always skeptical about things. He can't see things in the Gospel of John. He's always like, I can't see that happen. Even 12 months' wages is not going to be enough. I mean, Pastor, you know, it's fine. It's happening in Papua New Guinea. It's, you know, evangelism there, and people give their times and testimonies and all that. But in Australia, we're so secular. It's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here, Pastor. But thank God there's Andrew. And Andrew, every time he's mentioned in the Scripture, he always brings someone to Jesus. He brings his brother to Jesus. And he, in a crowd of 5,000 men plus women plus children, he noticed that there's a little boy. And that little boy is the only one who brought lunch that day. And he says, hey, are you willing to share that lunch with Jesus today? Do you want to come closer to Jesus? You want to see him up close? What a testimony that little boy had. I could just imagine him coming to Jesus and Jesus, are you willing to share that lunch? And watch what happens. When you give it to me, watch what happens. And his eyes popping up. because Jesus is giving thanks to God and he's distributing to the crowd. And there's leftovers from that little lunch. Isn't that incredible? When boys and girls, like we had this morning, you came up front, this little girl sang here, blessed the whole crowd. That little talent, that little gift that she has, and blessed the whole crowd. And this is what happens when we're willing to give it to Jesus. And he certainly blessed the crowd. I'm having trouble with this clicker. Maybe want to slip on me. Okay. The story of this woman who, for years and years again, in the New Testament, Bible says that she saved all her possessions, all her money. She bought this expensive perfume to anoint Jesus. A very rare and a very expensive one. I mean, Lynette sharing the story this morning about her treasures, that she treasures there. But she had that treasure. And she was willing to share that with Jesus and to anoint Jesus. What an incredible, incredible act. And people, the good people, the Sabbath-keeping people, all those around Jesus at the time, thought that that was a waste. That was a waste. But Jesus actually said this. She has done what she could. She has done what she could. Isn't that incredible? My friends, Jesus is coming soon. And we often read Matthew 24, 25. Talked about Matthew 24, about the signs of the times. But then Matthew 25 shares this story about the two groups of people. The ones that will be at the right and the left. And Jesus is saying to those at his right, come join my kingdom. Whatever you did this to the least of my people, you did it for me. You have done what you could. This is what you and I will want to hear when Jesus comes. He wants as good as it is to come to church on Sabbath, to worship, to sit on the pews, and to listen to a good sermon. Jesus is not going to say, hey, you've been to one turn of church. You ticked the box most of the Sabbaths when you could get out of bed. But he's not going to say that. He's going to say, you did what you could. And I like to hear that. Don't you want to hear that? Whatever you had, you used the time, the treasures, the talents, the testimonies for me. Whatever you could, whatever you had the opportunity. And then there's a story about this widow, this elderly lady, who comes to the temple on a Sabbath and she puts in the two pennies. While others are putting in and they're looking to make sure everybody notices the big envelopes that they're putting in. And Jesus makes this observation again in this story. She gave out of her poverty and she put in all that she had. All that she had. What about you and I? We're so blessed here in Australia. Are we using that opportunity to return to God all that belongs to him? Again, I'm fascinated in the Gospel of John. You see Jesus again. And I like this, the beginning of the chapter. Chapter 4 starts with these incredible words. Jesus had to go through Samaria. I mean, If you're a Jew, you never go through Samaria. You actually go around it, even though it's a shorter way to go through it. You're trying to avoid those people because they don't eat like you, they don't smell like you, they don't behave like you. They're Samaritans. And Jesus said, "No, he had to go through Samaria." This is not about geography, it's about mission. What about you and I? Are we using the opportunities to go through and meet people where they are? Meet people where they are and accept them. As God's children. Not putting them in the box. And Jesus went through there because he had an appointment with this woman. He wants to meet her where she is, in her desperation, in her rejection. People rejected her. She's not welcome to be part of that social. In the middle of the day, she goes because she's not accepted by other women. Everybody gossips about her. And she's lonely. And Jesus meets her where she is. And this is the incredible thing. When you and I meet Jesus, when he meets us where we are, he gives us that water of life. He fills us with that water of life. What an incredible, incredible experience. Because the Bible says that when this woman... And you notice the progression there when she discovered who this man is, that is willing not only just to come to meet with her, that wasn't the practice there. She accepts him as the Messiah, as the one who gives that water that will never ever thirst again. The immediate reaction you and I need to have when we are filled in with that hope, with that water of life, is to overflow. You just cannot hold that in. And I met people like that when I was in Papua New Guinea. They're just so, they're singing, they're praising God, they just could not hold that in, that joy. They had to share that with other people. I mean, it wasn't some effort that they need to make. Oh, you know, I need to set up some time to do some letterboxing, and I need to set up some times. Maybe I'll give God an hour every Sabbath and in the afternoon and do some witnessing. No, it wasn't like that. It just comes out. When you and I are filled with that, it's just a natural thing. And her natural response is, "I'll go." What's your response? Is it, "I will go," or maybe send somebody else? This woman went out and she shared what God has done for her with the whole village people. And she just simply said, "Come and see. Just come and see." This is the invitation she gave out. And you and I can use that invitation to come and see. You know, people in Australia are willing to respond to an invitation from a friend to come to a church. How many of us are willing to actually invite people? Because you're saying, "Oh, I don't think they'll come." People who were surveyed actually said, "Yeah, if somebody, a friend of mine, invites me to come, I will come." Interesting. This is what personal ministry is. Come and see. What about the story of this man who everybody ran when he came about? He's the guy who lived in the cemetery. He looks scary. He behaves scary. A demon possessed. A man like Jacob in Papua New Guinea, everybody was scared of him because he was chopping their heads off. But Jesus is not running away from him. He's running towards him. He's meeting him where he is, right there. And when he meets Jesus, he stands up, clothed in his righteousness, because his righteousness covers us. When we meet him, when we accept him, and he stands before him. And Jesus heals this man. He accepts him, and he wants to become one of his disciples. He's got this desire. I want to be one of your disciples. I want to follow you. And Jesus said, no, not for you. Are you willing to go? You need to go. You go and tell. Go and tell the testimony. Go and tell what I've done for you to somebody else. I don't know about you. But I have a testimony. I'm a third generation Seventh-day Adventist. I grew up in the church, but I left God when I was 18, 19. I did everything that's opposite of being a Christian. But when I made a commitment to accept Jesus, I wanted to tell everyone how he changed my life. What about you? Do you have a testimony? Jesus is saying to you today, go and tell someone what God has done for you. What God has done for you. You know, my friends, Jesus is coming soon. We still see opportunities today in Australia. And we're planning, you know, for Australia for Christ 2028. But before Jesus comes, he might come earlier than that, there will be a time when those opportunities will be restricted. We see that happening now. It can happen overnight. Some of those restrictions will come. We need to use the opportunities today to share this good news that Jesus is coming soon. What is your response to that? Are you willing to share your time, to share your talent, to share your testimony, to share your treasure with those around you, to share this good news? Jesus is coming soon. We sing the song, Jesus is coming again. What a marvelous news we have. What a hope we have in Jesus. We have this hope. Every general conference session, when at the end of the general conference session, it's finishing with that song. We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. But are you willing to share that hope with people who are feeling lonely, who feel that there's no purpose, no meaning in life today in Australia? Are you willing to do that? You don't need to go to Papua New Guinea or to. If God puts it in your heart, please go to Papua New Guinea. Please go to Thailand, to Laos. Go to our partner mission. We need missionaries today, yes. But you also need to go across the street to your neighbors, to your family, to your workmates, and share what God has done for you. Share the testimony. This is my prayer, that you and I will be faithfully using that, the time that God has given us, the treasure, the testimony, and our talents. Don't bury the talents on the ground. We all have at least one talent. Don't bury that. Use it for God. Use it for God. Multiply it. My favorite missionary story, and I'm going to conclude with that because I can smell the food there. Already, there was a church in Scotland that sent a missionary to Africa. The missionary went there, and he had some success, but he he needed more help, more people to go out because the work was great in Africa. And so the missionary returned back to the church that sent him in Scotland, and he went there, and the congregation was a bit small at the time. The weather wasn't good. It was a bit cold, and only a few elderly people, maybe 20, 25 people in the church came. But he was determined to give the same message that he prepared, the same appeal to his message as well. And he simply called people to go and share the good news of Jesus with the people in Africa. And he says, who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Well, unbeknown to him, as a little boy helping the lady at the organ there playing, the little boy was about 12 or 13. His name was David Livingston. Now, David, when the missionary made the appeal, who will go, who will go, he stood up, he came in front of the pulpit and he said, I will go, I will go, I will go. Now, the missionary said, young David, if you want to go to Africa to be a missionary, you need to go and study to be a doctor, and you'll be a missionary doctor. There's a great need there in Africa for that. Go to university, David. Go and study, and then go to Africa. Well, young David Livingston became a doctor, and he went to Africa, as he committed already to do. And he had some success there, but there was one tribe that he could not, one village that the chief there actually sent him a message one day, and he said, if you go, I'm going to come and kill you. I'm going to surround your compound tonight. I'm going to burn it down. I'm going to kill you. Well, David did what he knew to do at the time. He prayed. He called everyone to pray in the compound, and he prepared. He said, God, please, we want your work to continue. We want your work to continue. Please save us. Don't let that happen. Well, that night came, and we know the story, you know, because we can read David Livingston's diaries. You can research that. You can go on the internet, can look it up. And nothing happened. A few years down the track, that chief and the whole village actually converted and became Christians. And once he became a Christian, he was baptized. The Dr. David Livingston said to him, hey, what happened? You said you're going to come and kill us that night. We were praying and we were so scared. He said, oh, yes, we came. We came that night for sure. Well, what happened? Why didn't you kill us? Well, as we approached the village, the chief said, there were 35 giants standing up, protecting your compound. And we were so scared of them because they were so big and they had swords and we ran away. And so Dr. Livingston shared that story when he went to Scotland to the church that sent him. And he was preaching and sharing that story, and the ladies, the church clerk, the secretary, after the service said, Dr. Livingston, what day you said that the chief came that night to kill, to burn down the compound? What was the day? Because I have a book here, and I can look it up. Well, Dr. Livingston said, well, it's in my diary. Let me look it up. Looked it up. And she looked it up in her church clerk's books. And there were 34 people in Scotland praying that evening, that day, that will protect Dr. David Livingston. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. Don't ever underestimate the power of your testimony. Don't ever underestimate the power that you have through your talents that God has given you. are unique to you. And the treasures that we have, the opportunity to return back to God. May the Lord help us to respond to that. This morning, I like to appeal to you. God is appealing to you, not me. He simply says, I'm going to come soon to take you to be with me. This is the promise that Jesus has given us. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be anxious. Believe in me. Believe in God. In my Father's house are many, many rooms. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm coming soon. Therefore, I want you to go. Go and share. Go and share. Are you willing? Are you willing today to give and to respond to God by saying, yes, Lord, I will go. I will go. How many of you would like to use your time, your talents, your testimony, and your treasure to share that good news of Jesus? Would you like to stand? And as we stand, I'd like you to respond to that. We're going to sing the song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated All to Thee. And then I'll have a prayer at the end. Thank you, musicians.